Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ask me how I knew my true love was true.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with me. That's Tony Williams, the lead voice of the Platters, the Wayback Machine, one of their greats. I'm Jim Blasingame. Did I say that? I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Rick Maurer is our guest. Rick is a longtime, more than 11-year member of our Brain Trust, the author of so many books that it's ridiculous. Why don't you want what I want? My constant refrain around here. Also, Feedback Toolkit, that's out in the second edition now, isn't it, Rick?
It is, yeah.
So 16 tools for better communication in the workplace. I encourage you to check that one out, too. We're talking about the lessons we can learn from Honda. Rick, and when I was reading some of this and what I know about Honda, it just reminded me an awful lot about the journey that the Japanese made with Mr. Demings, with Edwards Deming, the grandfather of quality that went over there in the 40s to Japan. The American manufacturers basically just rejected him. He went to Japan. Japan, after the war, embraced him, and he helped them turn around, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
He helped them convert from military, from Mitsubishi's, fighter jets to Mitsubishi engines and cars, trucks.
Yep. And we missed it. I mean, you know, he's an American. He was writing in English. And we missed it because after the war, there was such a boom for people wanting stuff that you could make any quality washing machine or car, and people would buy it.
If it said made in America, even if it was a piece of junk, nobody would complain.
Exactly right. And it really took a long while for us to kind of get that 1980s
when it really the end of really probably I'm going to say for me I know I started noticing the thing falling apart around 1977 or 8.
And when
that's when the Japanese were surfacing with better products.
Yep.
Not only cars too, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Their cars had been here before 77 or 8. They were already good cars. I was driving them in those days. But the truth about poor American car quality didn't really surface till about 1980.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we started talking right before the break about, you know, one of the things that makes Honda a success, and according to the author of this Driving Honda book, that Mr. Honda, Soichiro Honda, the founder, said you've got to be there, you've got to be on the floor, and the story that Rothfetter tells in the book is that they designed a Formula One race car. And so this is a showpiece. I mean, this is something that's going to get a lot of attention, and they're not going to sell it, obviously. And I think it was the pistons couldn't handle the heat, and the car went up in flames.
Wow.
And so Honda himself met with the engineer and learned that the engineer hadn't gone to where the pistons were being made, or even talking to the drivers. In other words, he hadn't been there. And they said Honda could handle mistakes if you learned from the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you weren't there and you just designed it in your ivory towers,
right,
you suggest, man, it, you know, I.
So that guy's looking for a new job then after that.
I think he probably was,
right.
Yeah. I mean, but there are other things that Honda did, and one that really speaks to your notion of sustainability. In a lot of organizations, research and development happens right at the beginning. Like, okay, we've got a market for this, here's what we're going to do, here's the best way to do, all the kind of stuff that R&D is noted for. At Honda, research and development stays a part of the process all the way up through implementation. In other words, knowing that as you're trying to design something, there are going to be problems, or there are going to be new opportunities. And so R&D is part of that all the way through. And I have never seen that used consistently.
Usually R&D stays in the lab so to speak, and they produce the product, and then who knows what it's going to wind up being once manufacturing gets hold of it.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And then once sales and marketing weighs in on what this Nobel Prize winning piece in innovation needs to be, then you know it starts becoming turning into a camel. You know what a camel is? A camel is a horse that was assembled by a committee.
That's what it starts
looking like a camel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and Honda
wouldn't have any of that, and therefore they have never lost money in 60 something years.
Yeah, it really is amazing. By the way, American automakers, they used to refer to it as over the wall, like the engineers do something and they throw it over the wall, and that goes to the design department. Yep. They do something and it gets thrown over the wall. Mm-hmm. And by the way, and Ford with Taurus was the first to say, that's ridiculous, and they were bringing in insurance groups, public groups, the designers, the people on the floor, anybody who needed to touch this car, so that as it was being developed,
Honda was doing this.
Oh, Honda was doing this. Is Ford.
Ford was doing it. Yeah,
Ford did it with the Taurus. I mean, nobody else in America had seriously done that.
And consequently, it was on par in terms of customer quality and customer appreciation. It was on par with the Honda.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So why didn't more? Well, you know, what the question is, why can't you know what's going on in America that we didn't see, you know, what needed to be done? And I'm going to propose that the way that Wall Street was having a lot of impact on that. What do you think, Rick?
I'm not sure. Sounds like we're going to a break.
We're going to go to a break.
I'd love to
talk about
that
because, and this is something we can all think about, folks. We'll talk about this some more with Rick Maurer after these messages. Stay with us. 10-till.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.